your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 2. Exodus chapter number 2. Exodus chapter number 2. I want you to stand to your feet, please, while I read the Word of God. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with a pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse a child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And let me pause there to say, I always get amazed at this story. I'm amazed at how God works everything out. If I would have been planning it out in my mind, I'd have thought, well, somebody besides Pharaoh's daughter need to find that baby and do something with it. But that's not how God worked. God worked it out his way. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. He became her son. She called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. I thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you, Lord, tonight we have the opportunity to be back in the house of God. And then, Lord, how good it is to hear the singing of the songs, the choir, duck choir, then the youth choir. And Father, how good it is. Now, I want to praise your name and thank you, God, for your blessings on us tonight. Been a sweet spirit. God, just to join our hearts to be in the house of God. I thank you for every mother that's here. I thank you for every dad, every child. I pray, God, you bless every young person. And Lord, help us tonight as we try to share the word of God to be a blessing and a help to others. I pray the Holy Spirit would take that word and speak to hearts. Then there are those here, God, that need special help in their families or situations. And I pray for them. Then I'd ask God for that one that's lost and without God, that you speak to their heart, convict and draw by your power, and I pray they'd be saved tonight. And someone may be totally out of the will of God or going that direction, I pray they'd come tonight. Let you help them. Then, Father, we pray that you'd help us to preach. We need that touch of God, that anointing power. I pray you'd help us. Then, Lord, we were just reminded that a few minutes ago about Miss Hazel Gilbert, and I pray for her. I ask you, God, to help her physically. I know she'd love to be here, but Lord, I pray that that divine touch of God would help her tonight. We'll praise you. But Lord, in this service right now, in this place, I pray you rebuke the devil, give us liberty to preach, power of God on us. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about a mother's faith tonight, talking about Moses' mother and dealing with that. But some things are said in here that caught my attention that I wanted to share with you tonight, and dealing especially baptizing some children tonight. I pray that God will help us, and as we look at this message and think about it, God will say something to us that would help us along the way. And if you're here unsaved, I pray tonight that you realize you're in need of a Savior. I've said it often, I never want to come to church and not tell you that Jesus Christ died for your sin, that he was buried and rose again, that he's alive tonight, and that he'll save every sinner that will repent and believe. He'll save you, and you can be born in the family of God. You may have come in tonight saying, I need something, but I don't know what I need. If you've never been saved, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. Now, in context of Scripture, you know the story here. Israel has gone down to Egypt, and down there they begin to multiply. And Pharaoh got disturbed about it because there getting to be so many Israelites down there that they were concerned. And so they had talked to the midwives and said that when the male child is born, then you get rid of that child. And God never did like abortion, amen. And I know they's killing them when they were born, but what's the difference? It's a living child. Whether it's abortion or whether it's born, and some of them even kill them we won't go into that, but I'm telling you tonight, God always has hated that. And they were doing that, but the midwives, that's what Pharaoh wanted them to do, but the midwives, they feared God, and they wouldn't do it. And the children kept on multiplying, and they kept on living. So he had a problem on his hand, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. But I want you to know we got a great God that's able to watch over and care for and take care of. But I want you to look at me in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23. Now, if you notice in the scripture I read, in verse number 2, it said that they hid him 3 months. They hid Moses after he was born 3 months before they did anything. But notice in Hebrews 11, verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. Now, it wasn't Moses' faith. He's just born. It was mother's faith. It was dad's faith. They believed God. And when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not, get this, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And we'll comment on that in a few moments also. But I want you to know they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They was going to do what was right. As a child was born, and they knew it was wrong to kill him, and they wanted to keep him as any mother would, a normal mother. Natural affection has been thrown out the window in our generation, but natural affection is for a woman to love a child and a dad to love his child. That's natural affection. And the Bible said in the last days we'll be leaving natural affection. But I'm glad that they did love and they did care and they wanted to help. But I want to give you two or three things quickly tonight about this story that I saw here. And let me talk about concealing him. That word conceal means to hide. And so they concealed him. There's two things. Let me better run ahead of myself here. But right here, concealed, they concealed him. For those 3 months, they hid him. And I just read to you about it. Is it ever right to disobey the law of the land? Is it ever right to do something that the law says you ought not to do? Now, under the law of that land, they would kill that child. But they wouldn't do it. And they hid the baby for 3 months. Is it ever right not to obey? God's word teaches us to obey the laws of the land. But that is only if it does not contradict the law of God. If it ever contradicts the law of God, we are never to obey the law of the land. Do you remember Daniel? When they sent out a decree and said you're not to pray to any God, ask any petition of anybody except the king for so long. And Daniel simply went in his house 3 times a day like he always did, opened his window toward Jerusalem and prayed and supplication unto God. He did that knowing what the decree was, knowing what would happen. He did it anyway. I say hallelujah. Those three Hebrew children out there, they had an image made the king did and said, now when you hear the music, fall down and worship. And those three Hebrew children knew what the law would say it. They knew what it said, but they knew what God said. Not bow themselves down to any image. And they wouldn't do it. And they stood there. Now they could have bowed down and said, well, we're going to bow, but we're not going to really worship. They could have kind of went along with the crowd and said, we're not really going to do that in their heart. But no, they didn't want to identify with the wrong crowd. I'll say hallelujah. I don't want to identify with the wrong crowd either. I want to be identified with that crowd that will stand and will be against sin no matter where it is, when it is, and stand there. And so they just stood there and disobeyed the king's command. You know the story. They were cast in the fiery furnace, but they came out on the other side and didn't even smell like smoke. And fact is, while they was in the fire, they said the fourth man got in there with them. I say hallelujah. Hey, Jesus got in there with them. I don't know what for sure they talked about, but I bet you one thing. They had a good time in the fire while they was there. When they got out, they were joyful. They hadn't bowed. Hey, when you don't bow to the devil's crowd and the devil's way and the devil himself, God will give you a good time in him and he'll be with you and help you. I talked this morning about fellowship. I say, praise God, I'd rather be in fellowship with him in the fire than it would be outside with the crowd. Not trying to make any sense. Hey, they wasn't trying to do anything to draw attention to themselves. They simply stood for the Lord God of heaven. I say hallelujah. And let me back up to Daniel. They throwed him in a lion's den, and not only in a lion's den, but as a den of lions. And when he got in there, the lions was there. And I don't know what he did that night, but I got a feeling he laid his head down on one, propped his feet up on another one, and said, boys, asleep a while. Amen. I believe they purred like kittens, and maybe he licked him a little bit and said, go to sleep and have a good night. Amen. You say, preacher, he slept that night. He stayed all night with them, and they didn't even bother him. They didn't even touch him as far as hurting him. But he was down there with them. I say, praise God. I'd rather be down there with them than be outside not doing what God told me to do. God said, pray. He said, not pray. He prayed anyhow. I said, sometimes we have to, and our land and our country and our world is headed in the direction if we do what God said. It one day will be against the law to preach certain things and take certain stands. But I want you to know tonight, by the grace of God, and I said by the grace of God, I intend to stand where I've always stood. I don't intend to move, no matter what the law says, no matter what they say about anything. Homosexuality is still wrong. Abortion is still wrong. And they're making this what they say in this world. It's still wrong. And wrong's still wrong. Right's right. And I believe that we ought to remember that in these days. And so they hid. They concealed the baby for 3 months. Now, I don't take this thought and think about concealing. Parents, we better conceal our children to a certain degree. Amen. We have to watch our children. They hid him. They kept him away from those that wanted to hurt him. You better keep your children away from those that want to hurt them. Amen. And our world is filled with people that want to hurt them. And these people get on the internet and they prey on children. They try to find children so they can hurt them. Hey, you best be a monitor or cut that out, whatever it is. I don't know how you control it, but there's a way to do it. I'm just simply saying, you better be careful about that. And then as your children grow, you better conceal them. Hey, some things you ought not let your children do. Hey, some things y'all just say no to, and I know they're going to say, well, everybody else is doing it. It doesn't make any difference what everybody else is doing. It's what we're going to do and where we're going to stand and how we're going to raise our children and what we're going to teach them about right and wrong. Amen. And by the way, let me plug this in right here. If you, young person and children, you have a parent that corrects you and tells you how it is, you better thank God they do. Amen. You got a child, you got a mom and dad takes you to church, and they make you go whether you want to or not when you was little, and they made you go anyhow. You better thank God for that. Amen. Praise God for parents that take children to church. Amen. And then teach them what's right and wrong. And no debating about if things they need to do, just tell them to do it. Amen. And let God handle that thing. And you just go ahead and do what's right. Amen. Y'all still with me? I believe tonight you ought to conceal your children. You ought to hide them sometimes and keep them away from the world and the ungodliness of this world. And somebody said, well, my child never do that. Your child, just like every other child, got the same old flesh, same old weakness, same old temptation, and will fall into it if you're not careful. and you have to watch them. Somebody said, well, that's too old-fashioned. My parents are too old-fashioned and all of that. You better thank God you got an old-fashioned parent. And just hug her neck and thank him for it. Amen. And praise God for it. Somebody said, well, girls have got to learn how to dance so they'll be graceful. I'd rather just walk into heaven. Amen. Who'd want them to go gracefully to hell when they walk into heaven? Let them go. Amen. Who cares about all that stuff? But I'm telling you tonight, we need to teach our children what's right. Hey, by the way, it was a dance where John the Baptist lost his head. Amen. Lust got in the way and he lost his head and got in a mess. And I just believe there's some things we need to conceal our children from and tell them it's wrong. Amen. And keep them out of that drug crap. They get to running around somebody and they think they've messed with drugs. Get them away from them. Amen. Don't let them do it. Hey, how they dress, how they look, you ought to be the one telling them that, not them telling you how they're going to do it. Amen. Hey, good preaching. Amen, preacher. And we ought to be the ones telling them about that. Amen. And what they're going to do, where they're going to go, and all that kind of stuff. Well, meddling now, so, but it's good preaching anyhow. And they cared about their child. They concealed that child because they cared about that child. And if you care about your child, you'll conceal that child and you'll keep him away from certain things. And when they grow up and they later on, they'll thank you down the road somewhere for what you did for them. Amen. But secondly, and I'm on a second point already. I'm doing good tonight. Amen. But secondly, I want you to know they committed that child. I want you to look with me, please, here, as they made an ark. Look in verse number 3. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of the bulrushes and daubed him with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. She laid it in flags by the river's brink. Now, she committed that child into that ark. If you read the story in Genesis 6 about Noah and the flood, they pitched the ark within and without. And same word we get the word atonement from. And here this ark that Moses put in. And I think what's saying to us, they got him to Christ. They got him in. They put him in the, I know we're talking about a 3-month-old. I realize that fact, but I'm using it as a type and picture here. And she committed, but she had to commit that child into that God would watch over and God would care and God would take care of that. She had to commit that. Now, I have a problem, and I've wrestled with this all my preaching life. And I told you this morning, today is an anniversary for me personally about preaching. But I've wrestled with this all my life. When does a child get saved? When can they know about really being saved? And I still have a struggle with that. And I still struggle with it. But I believe this with all my heart, that people that really love God and their child makes a profession of faith, and you struggle about knowing where it's real or not real, if you commit it to God, that God will, if that child's not really saved, will bring them that place where they will be saved before it's eternally too late. Amen. If that be the case. Now, I'm not saying that is or isn't. I don't know. I'm confessing up to you. I don't know. I'm not trying to be God because I can't be, and I can't tell you when that is. Bible doesn't say that. Jewish boys, I talked about Jesus more than about 12 years of age, went in with the men to worship. That don't mean that has to be the age of accountability. Some say it is. And I'm not going to say that. I'm just simply saying this. We're going to baptize some young folk tonight, some children, and the parent have committed them to God. And they said they wanted to get saved. They believed in Jesus Christ. They believed they were going to hell. They believed Jesus, the Son of God. And they confessed with their mouth and believed in their heart. And they got saved. All I can do is take their word for that and baptize them best I know how. Amen. And commit them to God and let God handle the rest of it. I tell you, there's a whole lot of things I don't understand about salvation anyhow. You say, well, preacher, you are supposed to understand everything it is about. You're a preacher. You don't understand everything about salvation either. There is a certain point of salvation that you really can't get a hold of. You really can't tell anybody about it. It has to happen to you before you'd ever know it happened. Amen. You have to experience that thing. Hey, some things you can't tell anybody.
I've tried to tell it, and I've tried to tell them what it's like. I've tried to get it across, but I've been preaching 45 years and never have got it said. I can't find word to say it. I don't have a vocabulary. I don't even know what it is. I just know God reached down one day and did something inside of me and birthed me in the family of God, and I say hallelujah. Amen. If that happened to you when you're 20 years old, 25, or 19, or 18, or 17, or when you're 10 or 7, I don't know. I just know you got to get saved and born in the family of God. So they committed him into that little ark. And I'm trying to think, Billy Sunday, I believe it was, had said God sent two angels down. Sent one down to keep the crocodiles away, and sent one down to pinch a baby when it's time to cry. Amen. And here come Pharaoh's daughter down. She's going to bathe. I don't know whether Moses' mother knew Pharaoh's daughter be down there or not. I don't know. I know he had Sister Miriam standing over there, and she's watching to see what's going to happen. She had some faith something's going to happen here, and she wanted to know what's going to happen. And so she's standing over there, and she made that commitment, trusted God for it. Here come Pharaoh's daughter, and sent a maiden over there to get that basket, that little ark, and said, bring it over here. It's watertight, couldn't get in there. I mean, she made it well. She had concealed that child. She committed that child, and that's what we need to do with our children, commit them to God. And Pharaoh's daughter came by, opened up that little ark. That angel, whatever happened, I don't know what happened. But that baby started to cry. And that Pharaoh's daughter, her mother's instinct in her rose up. And she had compassion on that baby and said, it's one of the Hebrew children. But I have compassion on it. About that time, here come a sister running down the hill and said, you want me to get somebody, one of those Hebrew women, to nurse that baby? Hey, they've been throwing babies in the river. Crocodiles been drowning them and getting rid of them. Said you, hey, that sister, and you, I'm plugging this in too. I'm always plugging something in. I'm plugging this in too. That sister knew what to do when she saw what was happening. Hey, we need to be alert spiritually so we'll know what to do when we see somebody in that place. And they need some help, and we can run to the right one and say, can I get some help for you? Hey, man, that sister came running and said, I can get you a Hebrew woman up here to nurse that child. And she said, do that. She took off and see dust a flying while she went, because her heart was a thumping. And said, Pharaoh's daughter asked me to go get a woman to nurse this child. Mama, I know Pharaoh's daughter found that baby boy Moses down. Hey, she wants somebody to nurse it. And I told him, I'd get one. She said, I'm a coming right now. I'm a coming now. Hey, and she got down there and said, I'll nurse that child. I'll take care of that child. I'll raise that child. Hallelujah. And whoop, God said, I'm going to raise me up a man, and I'm going to let Pharaoh pay for it. Amen. And notice he said, I'll give you wages. Now, I thought about another message, but I ain't got it ready. But I want you to know there's some wages for being a godly mother. Amen. There's a payday for being a godly mother. There's a time. Amen. I see some of y'all sitting with your children tonight. Boy, that's a payday. Being a godly mother and a godly dad, there's a payday for it. You say, but preacher, they may drift away. I'll get to that in a minute. Just hang on. There's a payday. I'm telling you, there's a payday. Well, you get your wages. And she went down there and said, I'll nurse that child. I'll take that child. And she didn't let on she's a mother of it. But she said, I'll take care of it. And Pharaoh's daughter committed it to her. And now, here she is. She committed her child to the ark. And here she gets her child back in her arms. And she don't even have to hide him. And she got him now. She can just go out there and carry him around. Whoop, look at my child. Amen. That Pharaoh's daughter got me to. You need to get rid of that. No, that Pharaoh's daughter told me to take care of this child. Hey, Pharaoh's. I'm hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad when God's in charge and God's got it all under control? You don't have to worry about what Pharaoh says or what somebody law said, somebody made down the road. It's just a fact doing what God said to do. And so she took the child and she raised the child. But she made another commitment one day. Look in verse number 10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. Now listen, it came a day she had to take a child to Pharaoh's daughter and committed him unto keeping there. Now she had committed him in the ark, and she commits him now to Pharaoh's daughter. I don't know how old he was. I don't know how long she had him. But there's something instilled in him, because when he got older, I know what happened. Amen. Now here, when our children grow up, we reach a point we have to commit them out there on their own. They're grown. They're out there. They go their way. There's a time, and I'll be honest with you, it's hard to turn a child loose. If you have never experienced that empty nest syndrome, you've been blessed, but you will one day. Amy, it's about to happen to you. And when they all leave home, and there you are, and you look around. And when Anthony left, I said, hallelujah. No, I didn't. I'm kidding, Anthony. Don't you? I thought Anthony's going to jump out of that booth up there. I didn't really. I just said a little amen. But I missed him. I missed him because he always kept me laughing. We'd have devotion sometimes, and he'd want to tell a joke. Stood outside the house one night, one evening. I just drove up. I wasn't mind. I just been somewhere visiting. Something come in, drove up. There's apartments all around us. He's standing outside. Don't hit me again, Daddy. Please don't hit me again. I said, Anthony, everybody around here think I'm killing you. He hollered that much louder. I finally just walked in the house. Said, I can't help that boy. Let him scream. I thought, well, he'd quit if I go in. But then when Jewel left the house, then she's the last one to leave the house. Jewel used to come in. She'd sat down and she'd play the piano. I'd come in the house and I'd listen for that piano to play. It wouldn't be playing. Hey, what I'm trying to say is your children leave the house. Your children leave home. And when they do, you miss them. But you have to commit them to God. And what you taught them and what you instilled in them, I believe Moses had something instilled in him that he could never get away from. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from him. Amen. I want you to know there's times they may stray some, they may go here or there some, they may get out, but if you've really instilled in them the right thing, the Holy Ghost of God, stay on your knees in God prayer for them, the Holy Ghost of God to get a hold of them and do something for them. Moses, the Bible said when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, I say hallelujah, amen. And he took his place with that despised people and said, I'm Pharaoh's house, I'm leaving, I'm going with my people. Hey, I want you to know there's something that back there instilled in him. There's something he couldn't get away from. I believe he'd heard the story about being put out there in that water, how his mother's faith was, his dad's faith was, and said there's something about this thing of being a Hebrew and something about this thing. And I'm not going to be Pharaoh's daughter. He had riches. He had education. He had all he could ask for. But he said, I'm going to go with God's people. I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad we got a promise. Amen. I'll save you and your family. And I believe tonight we can claim that promise by the grace of God and hang in there for God and let God do something for us. And he hung in there, committed him. She committed him. Well, she knows it's hard for her to take him and say, here's a child. But she instilled enough in him. She prayed and trusted God enough. I believe she said, someday he's a coming back. He did. He did. Well, let me close. The conclusion of the whole matter, as said in Ecclesiastes, here's her doing a concealing committee. The conclusion of it was Moses did refuse to be Pharaoh's daughter's son. And he went out there, and God spoke to him out of a burning bush, sent him back down there and led the children of Israel out. Moses, Bible said, was the meekest man on earth. He's Moses, that great man of God. Went up on a mountain. That mountain shook. Smoke came out of the top of it. That mountain, with the presence of the Holy God, came down. Shinar glory was everywhere. And Moses walked into it. And God gave him 10 commandments and spoke to him. and talked with him. You talk about a man. He came off the mount, his face was aglow, had to cover it up because he couldn't stand to look at him. I'm telling you, when you read the end of the story and the conclusion of it, you can say, Mama, thank you for concealing that little boy. Thank you for committing that little boy. Thank you for making that commitment, stand by. Thank you for believing God. Thank you. Look what we got. He's leading out between 2 and 3 million people out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to know God does things like that. Amen. I read a story talking about double things here in the ark and then with Pharaoh's daughter. There was a family out of England went on vacation up in Scotland years ago. Their little boy was swimming, took a cramp, about to drown, hollered for help. There's a farmer boy, heard him, came running, jumped in and got him out, saved his life. And the dad of that boy that was drowning asked the little farmer boy, said, what would you like to do with your life? He said, I'd like to be a doctor. But said, I don't have any money. My dad don't have any money. I can't go to school. That dad said, I'll see that you go to school. We'll see that your bill gets paid. You just don't worry about that. Years later, there was a man dying with pneumonia. And Alexander Fleming was sent for. He was a doctor that had discovered penicillin. Said, we're going to get him to minister this medicine to you. He came in. Dr. Fleming was a man that had saved that little boy. The little boy was laying there. Was Winston Churchill. And gave him the medicine. He got better. Hallelujah. I want you to know when you commit your children to God, God has a way of working everything around and bringing it back to you. Churchill family did right with that little boy, and that little boy came back around again. But came in that time as a doctor. Came in with the medicine he needed and saved his life. I say God does things like that. God helps everybody. Listen, we need to trust God with our children and let God work in their hearts. There may be a child sitting here tonight. You say, preacher, I know my mom and dad, their hearts are breaking for me. They love me. They want me to, and I haven't followed God. I need help. Won't you come and bow? There's somebody here tonight and say, I know I'm not saved. I need to get saved. Or I need to rededicate my life. I need to let God help me. Let's stand, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the privilege endeavor to preach it. And I pray tonight, speak to hearts while we give this invitation. Lord, it's yours. You give it. You work in hearts. I pray your will be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen.